Parsha starts off with a pasuk, Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva, that Yaakov leaves Be'er Sheva, Vayelech Harana, and he starts traveling in the direction of Haran. Vayifka Bamokim. He reaches a certain place, Vayonim Shom, and he decides to spend the night there. And the pasuk explains that the reason why he decided to spend the night there is Kivo HaShemesh, because the sun had set. He didn't want to keep traveling at night, so he decided to stay there overnight, and that's when he has the dream, that's when he sees the angels going up and down a ladder. Chazal, in the Medrash, and it also appears in Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, comment that the word mokum, vayifka b'mokum, that the word mokum in the language of Tanakh and also in the language of the Mishnah and in the language of the Gemara has a dual meaning. On the one hand, the word mokum means kipshutai, a place. And on the other hand, the word mokim is used as a euphemism for the Ribbono Shel Olam. Baruch Kvod Hashem Mimkaimai. By Avedus Rachman Lisson, you say Hamokim Yenachem Eschem. For a Chayla, the Nusach is Hamokim Yishlach Refuah Shleima. And Haggadah Pesach. Baruch Hamokim. Baruch Hu. When a person has a large loss of money, when a person has a fire or some other event that creates a large loss of money, the psak is that you say to him, Hamokim Yimalech Esreinchem. Mordechai tells Esther that if you're not going to intervene on behalf of Klal Yisrael, then Revach v'Hatzola Yamoid leYehudim miMokim Acher. Again, Mokim in that context, Chazal say, means the Ribbono Shel Olam. Mokim is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mokim. And Chazal use the expression, why is the Ribbono Shel Olam called Mokim? Shehu Mekayim Shel Olam, because he is the Mokim of the entire universe. The word which precedes Mokim in this pasuk at the beginning of this week's parasha, the word Vayifga, also has a dual meaning. The word Vayifga in the Torah is used in two totally different contexts. On some occasions, and Rashi points this out already, that on some occasions, Vayifka means to reach, to arrive at a certain destination. to meet up with somebody. In this Pashat Pshat, in this Pasuk, Vayifka b'mokim. he met up with a certain place. On the other hand, Rashi proves from a number of psukim that the word vayifka can also mean to dumb. The word vayifka means to be mispalel. In Parshas Vayera, we find that the pasuk says vayashkem Avram babayka, that Avram got up in the morning, el hamokim asher omad shom espnei Hashem. He went to the place where it was a meeting point, Asher Omad Shom Espnei Hashem, where he met with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the Gemara says in Brachos and Daf Chav Vav and Beis that he davened Shachris there. Where did the Gemara get it from that he davened Shachris there? Because again, the context of Mokum, meeting place with the Ribbono Shel Olam, obviously refers to tefillah. Which means that when one is defining what tefillah is, when one is defining, what do we mean when we say that a person has to daven? What basically is davening? What we're being told here is that the Hagdara of tefillah is a rendezvous. It's a meeting place. It's a meeting point between the individual who's davening and the Ribbono Shel Olam. We meet the Ribbono Shel Olam and we have a dialogue with him. We have a conversation with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Vayifka bamokim, which means tefillah. Means to reach, to meet. Vayifka, you meet. Mokum, the place. You reach the place. Vayifka, you daven. Mokum, the Ribbono Shel Olam. Because davening with the Ribbono Shel Olam is meeting with the Ribbono Shel Olam, having a dialogue with him. However, interestingly enough, there is another Maimah Chazal, which appears in Midrash Tanchuma, where the Midrash Tanchuma says that asks, what does the word vayifga mean? And the Midrash Tanchuma answers that the word vayifga means a nevuah. And then the Midrash brings this pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Vayetze and says vayifga bamokim means that he had a nevuah in this place. In other words, that which Yaakov Avinu saw, this which the Torah describes as being a dream of angels going up and down a ladder, in essence was a nevuah. So seemingly, Chazal can't make their mind up. Either Vayifka means tefillah, or Vayifka means a nevuah. So what, there's a machlokes here between two Mamari Chazal as to whether Vayifka means tefillah or whether Vayifka means nevuah? The answer is obviously not, because nevuah and tefillah, the Yaseira Din, are exactly the same thing. Nevuah and tefillah, both of them represent the concept of a dialogue with the Ribbono Shel Olam, of a conversation that's going on with the Ribbono Shel Olam. The only difference between a nevuah and between tefillah is that nevuah is a dialogue, prophecy is a dialogue which the Ribbono Shel Olam is instigating. He starts off. He says the first line and then we respond in a nevuah. The Navi talks to the Ribbono Shel Olam, but it's the Ribbono Shel Olam who came to the Navi and started talking with the Navi. Tefillah is a dialogue with the Ribbono Shel Olam which starts the other way around. It's not the Ribbono Shel Olam that comes to the person. It's the person that goes to the Ribbono Shel Olam and he starts off the conversation with the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Chazon Ish writes in one of his letters that if you want to define what is the ultimate definition of davening, of tefillah, he says, how you daven in the optimum manner. What's the best way for a person to daven? So the Chazon Ish writes the following. L'tzayer k'moy chai. You have to have in your mind a picture which is alive. You have to see in your mind an alive picture. Eich shakorish morchu shemeya esiyach sifsoseinu. That the Ribbono Shel Olam is listening to what you're saying. Umazin hegoyin, and he understands what you're trying to get at. V'niflo adovo, says the Chazon Ish. It's amazing when you think about it. Ki b'yecheles ha'odom, that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave the ability to a human being, lo'siach da'at goysov, that he can spit out to the Ribbono Shel Olam any problems that he has, anything that's bothering him, anything that's worrying him, he can talk it out, lifnei odein ha'olam yizborach, in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam, ka'asherhu meisiach, in exactly the same way as he would converse, l'reyehu, to his friend. Davening, says the Chazon Ish, is a conversation which goes on with between a person and the Ribbono Shel Olam, where the person simply tells the Ribbono Shel Olam any type of worry, issue, problem that he has. And the Ribbono Shel Olam listens to him in exactly the same way as a friend listens. And the language that one is to use to the Ribbono Shel Olam is exactly the same language that one would use to a friend. Says the Chazon Ish, how do we know this? Because the Ribbono Shel Olam refers to the Jew as Yeled Shashuim, his favorite son. And in the same way that a son has the ability to say whatever he wants to his father, a Jew who davens has the ability to say whatever he wants to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Because when a Jew, says the Chazon Ish, gets up to daven, the Ribbono Shel Olam makes an announcement. Oh, my son's arrived. Let's hear what he has to say for himself. Maybe I can help him out. The Chofetz Chaim used to carry on when he davened conversations in Yiddish with the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Chofetz Chaim's son-in-law, Reb Mendel Zaks, Zichrono Livracha, used to say over that he once heard, he was once standing next to the Chofetz Chaim when he was davening, and he heard the Chofetz Chaim say, Ribbono Shel Olam, I daven to you a lot, and on many occasions you've actually heard what I had to say and done something about it. Do me a favor, listen to me today and also do something about it. He says, he heard him saying it. It was a long story, but the bottom line of the story was that I ended up with a car and a driver in Ramsky's house in Beit Vagan. And all of a sudden he said, how did you get here? And I said, I got here with a car. And he said, right, let's go to the Kaisel. So we went to the Kaisel. And we went together to the Kaisel, and there was actually a professional photographer happened to be there who took a lot of very nice shots of us at the Kaisel together. And he was davening. And he also used to, in Shemoneh Esrei, he also used to have these long conversations with the Ribbono Shel Olam. If you tell me this, I'll tell you that. And if you argue back this, I'll argue back that. And he used to have these long, ongoing things. At the Kaisel, he stood there and he said, Ribbono Shel Olam, I daven every day for Mashiach. Why do I daven for Mashiach every day? Because the Rambam says that when Mashiach comes, the Rambam says that Mashiach has learned Torah with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And therefore the Mashiach will be able to give over the Ribbono Shel Olam's Torah in the way in which the Ribbono Shel Olam understands Torah. Because the Rambam paskins in Hilchos Melachim that when Mashiach comes, it's not a time for people to enjoy themselves, and it's not going to be some Islamic idea of what Olam Haba is, without going into the details. What it's going to be is Mashiach giving over to Klal Yisrael Torah in the way in which the Ribbono Shel Olam learns Torah. So he said, Ribbono Shel Olam, was hard to say. He says, what does it disturb you? Why do we have to hang around until the guy will come who will teach me how you learn Torah? Do me a favor. Tell it to me directly. And then he walked away from the Kaisel. That was it. That was the beginning of it, and that was the end of it. It was a personal conversation that he was having. That's what tefillah is all about. And Chazal, it's very interesting. Chazal, in other words, learnt out this whole concept that tefillah is a meeting place with the Ribbono Shel Olam from this pasuk of Vayifga Bamokim. That Vayifga means tefillah, and Mokim means the Ribbono Shel Olam, and therefore the underlying theme is that you're meeting up with the Ribbono Shel Olam and you're having a conversation with him. And then Chazal in other places go on about the chashivus, the importance of Mokim as a place, the second meaning of Mokim, in davening. Hakeveya Mokim litfilosoi. There's a halacha that a person should always daven in the same place. Ad kedei kach that I saw Reb Mordechai Schwab, Zichrono Livracha, from Muncie, has a whole shtickel Torah where he proves, and his rayas are good rayas, he's got very good rayas, that even when a person is davening biyachidus in his house or in his room, he should always daven in the same place. It's all part and parcel of keveya mokim litfilosoi. It's not only in a bais medrash, it's also in a private home. A person should always have a mokim kavua for davening. Why is it? Tefillah is a meeting. It's a rendezvous with the Ribbono Shel Olam. If you think about it, That's why we have this strange way of talking to the Ribbono Shel Olam when we daven. We don't talk in the third person. And he shall do this, and he shall do that, and he is this, and he is that. We keep on saying Ato. Baruch Ato. Because it's a dialogue. We're talking, as the Chazon Ish says, like a guy to his friend, you and me. We're having a private conversation between us. A rendezvous with somebody, a meeting place with somebody, by definition requires two factors. First of all, there has to be a place. You can't say to a guy, right, we're going to have a business meeting tomorrow. Where are we going to have the business meeting? In New York and in Yerushalayim. So what, I'm going to be in New York, you're going to be in Yerushalayim, you're going to be in New York, I'm going to be in Yerushalayim, we're both going to be in New York, we're both going to be in Yerushalayim. Fine. Huh? Tell me where to go to. No options involved. The meeting place has to be specific. Where? Has to be a kaver mokum. If we're going to meet, we have to meet somewhere. Plus the fact, there has to be a time. We're going to meet tomorrow. When? You have to fix a time when we're going to meet. If tefillah is a meeting point between the Ribbono Shel Olam and between the person, therefore there's a chashivas in the mokum tefillah. There's an importance about where the meeting is going to take place. And there's a chashivas in terms of the time of the meeting. All the Ribbono Shel Olam asks for a person is basic manners. That's all the Ribbono Shel Olam wants from a person. All the Ribbono Shel Olam wants for a person is that he should act towards him the same way as he would act towards anybody else. Just be well-mannered. Just do the right thing. No more, no less. And basic manners is that when you fix a meeting with somebody, A, you turn up, and B, you get there on time. Because if you don't turn up and you don't get there on time, it can't be a meeting. The world says of a famous story of the Chassidish businessman who had a meeting with another businessman who was a mad yeki. So they fixed for 6 o'clock. It came 6:30, and the Chassid, of course, hadn't turned up because they've got their own time schedules. So he left. The Chassid turned up at 8 o'clock. Nobody there. He says, "Afadol b'nei yeka." I come a little bit late, and he can't wait for me. The Ribbono Shel Olam is the same thing. The Ribbono Shel Olam is exactly the same thing, but the Ribbono Shel Olam is much more polite than the yeka, and the Ribbono Shel Olam has much more patience than the yeka, and therefore, a normal person fixes a meeting at a certain time. So he gives the guy who doesn't turn up 5 minutes. He gives him 10 minutes. If he's very, very patient, he gives him a quarter of an hour. If he's mamish and meyuchad shebe meyuchadim, he'll give him a half an hour. And then he'll leave. Think about the chesed of the Ribbono Shel Olam. He makes a meeting with us. We. A meeting with the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's called Shacharis. Says the Ribbono Shel Olam, fine, you've got 4 hours. You've got between Netzachama and Seif Zman Tefillah, you've got 4 hours. Krishma, you can come up to 3 hours late. Mishkeferach, you can come from Netzachama until Seif Zman Krishma. Mincha, no problem. You've got from half an hour after Chatzis until Shkia. You've got 6 hours. Anytime at that point in time, I'm available. Ma'ariv, 12 hours. You got from Tzeisei Kechovim till Alisa Shach. Ribbono Shel Olam gives us a tremendous amount of leeway in terms of the meeting that we're going to have with the Ribbono Shel Olam. But all he wants is a little bit of normal decency. I was Kaveya. You were Kaveya with me. You want to talk to me. You need me. You're not going to be able to carry on with your business of life without me. So we're fixing a meeting. So come at the time that we fixed. And you want to come half an hour late, an hour late, 2 hours late, fine. But imagine the guy who doesn't make it 4 hours late. Is anybody going to do any business with him? The guy who can't even make it 12 hours after the fixed time? Nobody's going to do any business with him. He's totally unreliable, plus the fact that he's basically impolite. And he's a mensch. Nobody does business with a guy who's not a mensch. If he's not a mensch in life, he's not a mensch in business. Don't have any business with him. The Gemara says, in Psochim, on Daf Kuf Yud Ches, the Gemara asked the Stira. The Gemara says, we've got two Psochim, one following the other, in Parshas Bereishis, which are a Lichura, at first glance, are a direct contradiction. Adam Rishon is created, Adam Rishon is given a mitzvah, he's told, you've got one mitzvah to do. I'm not going to bother you with 613, just one. Don't eat from the tree. Of course he does. He eats from the tree. There's a response on the part of the Ribbono Shel. You ate from the tree, therefore, says the Pasuk, you ate from the tree, therefore what? Because you listened to your wife and you ate from the tree which I told you not to eat from, therefore the following is going to result. What is the following, says the Pasuk? Kites v'darda tatzmiach loch, that the ground is going to grow all sorts of thorns and thistles and all sorts of things which make it difficult. V'achalta es esev asoda, and you're going to be able to eat grass. So what's the response of the Ribbono Shel Olam to the fact that Adam Rishon did a chet? You're going to eat grass the same way as animals eat grass. You'll eat grass and you'll be satisfied from it. That's the response of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Immediately the next pasuk says, Vayikra Adam, etc. The next pasuk says, V'zas apecha teichal lechem. How are you going to eat? You're going to eat bread. How are you going to create bread? V'zas apecha, the sweat of your brow. You're going to have to sow. First you're going to have to plow. Then you're going to have to sow. Then you're going to have to reap. Then you're going to have to thresh, etc., 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 and bake until you're going to get a loaf of bread which you're going to be able to eat. What do you mean? The pasuk just said immediately beforehand that you're going to eat grass. So what's this business about b'zeis hapecha teichal lechem? Why is he eating bread all of a sudden? That's the Gemara's kashim psachim. And the Gemara gives a teretz. And the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, lechatchilo, the Ribbono Shel Olam, after the chet, gave to Adam Rishon the following option. You will, from now and onwards, eat grass. V'chalto es esev asoda. Miyad, says the Gemara, immediately. Zogu einov d'mois. Adam Rishon started crying. Omer lefanav, he said to Ribbono Shel Olam. Ribbono Shel Olam. Ani v'chamayri noichal be'ovus echod. You mean I'm going to eat together with my chamor and the sus and the para? We're all going to sit around the same trough eating? I'm not masking. Therefore, says the Gemara, the Ribbono Shel Olam gave Adam Rishon a second option. And he said to him, okay, you don't want to do that? Fine, I've got a different option. V'zeis apecha teichal lechem. To which Chazal say, Niskara Rodaitoi. He calmed down, he said to Ribbono Shel Olam, fine. The question is obvious. And the Balei Musa asked, all the Balei Musa asked the question, it's the obvious question. Adam Rishon was put here in this world. What was he put here in this world for? So the Pasuk says in the beginning of Bereishis, La'avdo l'shamra. The Ribbono Shel Olam put him into Gan Eden. Why did he put him into Gan Eden? La'avdo l'shamra. For Avedis Hashem and Shmiris Mitzvahs, whatever it was in those days. Whatever Avedis Hashem was in those days and Shmiris Mitzvahs was not to eat from the tree. Fine. And this was Adam Rishon. So he's got a tafkid in this world. He's got a shlichus in this world. The Ribbono Shel Olam sent him down here for something. And he knows what the Ribbono Shel Olam sent him down here for. The Ribbono Shel Olam sent him down here, lo avdo l'shomro. Now, where is he going to have time? And where is he going to have the ability to be lo avdo l'shomro if he's going to have to spend 19 hours a day working to make a living in order that he should be able to physically survive? And then he's going to need at least 6 hours of sleep. So if 19 hours of work and 6 hours of sleep, he's already holding about 25 hours and the day's only 24 hours. So where's the Liyavdo L'Shomro going to come into it? Where's the time for the Liyavdo L'Shomro? So the Ribbono Shel Olam turns around to him and he says to him, I'm going to put you in the best kollel in the world. You're not going to have to worry about anything. You need to eat? No problem. What does the Gemara say in Kiddushin? Very last omen of Kiddushin. There's a turn of phrase in the Gemara. The Gemara is talking about umdus. The Gemara is talking about working. The Gemara says, look at the animal world and be jealous. Says the Gemara, I've never seen a deer, a tzvi, which had a fig pressing factory. But he's surviving. I've never seen, says the Gemara, a shual, who's a crafty character and would make the most perfect businessman. Running a business, says the Gemara. I've never seen a lion who's the strongest around who's got a furniture moving business, says the Gemara. And yet they're all surviving. So you should be jealous of them. They're surviving without any effort on their part. They don't have to put anything into it at all. It's all being given to them. And the Ribbono Shel Olam comes along here and the Ribbono Shel Olam says to the Marishan, you know what? Fine. I'm going to put you in a situation where everything gets given to you on a plate. You'll eat from the grass of the fields. What does that mean? The same way as the animals survive without any effort on their part. They don't have to work for their panasa. You don't have to work for your panasa either. And the Marishan goes into panic and says, no way! And the Ribbono Shel Olam says to him, why not? It's perfect. You can spend your entire life in Avodas Hashem the way you're meant to. And the Marishan says to him, because I'm going to end up eating from the same trough and from the same field as my cow and my chamor. Yes. You'll end up eating from the same field as your chamor and as your... But what do you care? But you've got no daigas and panos and nothing. You've got the best life, utopia. What do you care? Says Adam Marishan, no way. I have a certain amount of self-respect. I am not an animal. I'm not an animal. I'm a human being. And you want to put me into a situation where I'm an animal. I'm on a level with them. I'm not on a level with them. Says the Ribbono Shel Olam, okay. You want to be a human being? Fine. You don't want to be on the same level as an animal? Fine. But you have to understand that if that's the case, then b'zeh sapech otech alechem. And Adam Marishan says, fine, I'm willing to be mevater on an easy life. I'll give it all up. But I'm not willing to be mevater on my tzelem elokim. I'm unique because I have a tzelem elokim. I'm unique because I'm a man. And human beings have a chelek elokai mimal. And I'm not willing to give up on that. I'm not willing to start acting in a way which indicates to me and to the world that I'm not a human being. I'm no more than an animal. So Adam Marishan is willing to give up and to sacrifice what is a utopian situation, but not to give up his shame Adam and his shame Salam Aleichem. And that goes on for hundreds of years. That goes on until Yetzias Mitzrayim. Until Yetzias Mitzrayim, man lived constantly with this hakora, with this recognition that he is a tzelem elokim, that he has within him a chelek elokai mimal, that he has an neshama inside him, and that this takes demands from him. He has to have a certain amount of self-respect for who he is. He can't talk, act, like an animal. And then at a certain point, things change. Yetzias Mitzrayim. What happens at Yetzias Mitzrayim? At Yetzias Mitzrayim, the picture changes. Until Yetzias Mitzrayim, every single time that a person ate, that indicated his Selam Aleichem. Eating indicated that a person is a Selam Aleichem. The way in which he ate. The fact that he said a bracha before he ate. The fact that he said a bracha after he ate. What was the point of all this? I am not an animal. And if a person's eating has no bracha beforehand, and a person's eating has no bracha afterwards, and if food arrives, and everybody dives at the same time into it, with their hands, and nobody thinks about taking it off and putting it on the table and opening it up that somebody else should have, but everybody's grabbing with their hands, then it's atol v'chamoyo b'ovos echod. You and the chamoyo are all eating from the same trough, in the same way. Because the way in which a person eats and the way in which a person approaches eating, the guy who stands and eats is declaring to the world, I am a cow. Because cows stand and eat. The guy who puts his head into the disposable pan and then uses his feet and his hands to take the food is basically saying, I am a chazir. I'm making a declaration to the public who I am. And the guy who ruins good food by pouring gallons of ketchup on it is saying the worst thing possible. I am an American. What happened at Yetzias Mitzrayim? At Yetzias Mitzrayim, all of a sudden, the Ribbono Shel Olam turns around. And the Ribbono Shel Olam says, Koi Omar Hashem. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, something is happening now in the world. A certain group are being taken out of humanity. They are becoming a select. They are becoming unique. They are becoming singular. They are becoming Klal Yisrael. And therefore what? How are we going to define them? Who are they? What are they? Says the pasuk, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, Koy Amar Hashem, I'll tell you what they are. Bni Bechayri Yisrael. These people, they have a category into themselves. They are Bonai. And what's the uniqueness of a Ben? The uniqueness of a son is that he has access to his father the whole time. No problem. He can come when he wants, he can go when he wants, and he can say what he wants. And that is the uniqueness of Klal Yisrael. Who's saying this? Not me. The Tana is saying it. Where is the Tana saying it? In Pirkei Avos. What's he saying in Pirkei Avos? What's the language that Pirkei Avos uses? Choviv Yisrael. Yisrael is unique. Choviv means unique. Why? Shenikroim, because what are they? Bonim la mokoim. They are bonim in reference to mokoim. They are bonim in reference to the Ribbono Shel Olam. They are bonim in reference to tefillah. That which makes a Jew unique is the fact that he has the capacity which the goy doesn't have of being Bnei Bechayri Yisrael, Yered Shashuim, who can have a dialogue with the Ribbono Shel Olam as long as he gets there at the right time and in the right place. A goy doesn't have that. In our parsha, the pasuk says that Vayhi Kasha Yolda Rachel is Yosef. When Rachel gave birth to Yosef, Vayyema Yaakov, Yaakov said to Lavan, Shecheini ve'elcha mekayim yuli arzi. Now I can go back home. Says Rashi, based on Chazal obviously, Why now? What happened when Yosef was born that now it's safe to go back? Even though Yosef's hanging around there, it's safe to go back. Until this point, it wasn't safe to go back because Yosef was a danger. Now that Yosef's born, no problem. I can go back. Says Rashi, Mishenoilad sitnoi shel Esav. When Yosef was born, Yaakov understood this is the antidote to Esav. Shenema. How do you know this? It's a posuk. V'hoyo beis Yaakov eish. Yaakov is represented by fire. U'beis Yosef lahovo. And Yosef represents a flame. Ubeis Esav, and Esav represents kash, straw. And continues Rashi and says, Eish, belila hovo. As any of us who've learned Bava Kama remember, that if you have Eish without a lahovo, lo sheletes mi rochoik, it can't have an effect from a distance. Very, very strange Maimah Chazal that Rashi is quoting. The antidote to Esav is Yosef, because Yosef represents Lahova. Yaakov is Eish. Eish only has an effect at a certain place. Lahova has an effect even outside of that place. So, what's that got to do with anything? Why is the fact that Eish only has an effect in a certain place and Lahova has an effect outside of the place got anything to do with Esav? Where are we coming from here? The pshat is it's not a sibah, it's a simon. In other words, what Rashi is trying to say is, what a Chazal are telling us is, that there is fire and there is fire. There is fire. And then there is a much more stronger form of fire, which is Lahova. The Pasha Lahova is a stronger fire than Eish. What's the Raya that Lahova is a stronger fire than Eish? Because Lahova works with Lerochik and Eish doesn't. The fact that it's Lerochik isn't a Sibba, it's a Simon. It tells me that it's stronger. To which the question arises, why do you need a very strong fire as an antidote to Esav, who's kash? Drop a match in a pile of straw, and the straw is going to burn. A spark, and the straw is going to catch fire. Why do you need a lahova? Why do you need a stronger form of Eish? As an antidote to Esav, who's just kash. There is a Maimah Chazal which every single one of us know because they teach it to us in kindergarten. Well, most of us, the ones who aren't kindergarten dropouts. The Yaakov Avinu said, beginning of next week's parasha, beginning of parashas Vayishlach, Yaakov Avinu says, "Im lovon gavti," to which Chazal say, Rashi quotes it, "Im lovon gavti." I lived with Lavan for a lengthy period of time. Tariag mitzvahs shomarti. And I kept the Tariag mitzvahs. V'loi lomadati mimaisov horoim. And I never learned from his evil ways. Is that a great praise for Yaakov Avinu? You're talking about the Bechir HaOvis? You're talking about the unique one of the three Ovis? That's how Chazal describe him. And all he can say about himself is, I spent 14, 20 odd years by a guy, and I never got influenced by him. Do you think that the Chofetz Chaim would have got influenced, even if he would have spent 14 years in such a place? There's a misunderstanding of what's being said here. That latter part of the statement of Yaakov, he wasn't saying praise about himself. He was saying criticism about himself. Im lovam galti, says Yaakov. I lived with lovam for many, many years. The tayag mitzvah shamarti. He says, I kept the mitzvahs. Did what a good Jew has to do. But I'm going to get slammed. Why? Lo lamadti myself. I should have learned something from him and I didn't learn it. And because I didn't learn that from him, Esav has a power over me. And it's going to need something stronger than me that's going to be able to overpower Esav. What didn't Yaakov learn from Lavan? Says Yaakov, I learned from myself. Look at the mysterious nefesh that Lavan had for his gods. Look how the man went meshuggah when he thinks his gods are stolen. Look at the mysterious nefesh and the sacrifice the guy has for his, for the things that are important to him. Im lovam galti, v'tarig mitzvah shamalti, abalo lamadti mimaisof. I didn't learn that type of hakrova and mysterious nefesh, which he had for avodah zarah. I should have learned from him to use that for my beliefs. And that's why I needed Yosef, who was Lahava, stronger than Yaakov in a certain degree, and that's a story into itself, that had the ability to overpower Esav. Tefillah is a meeting point between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam. Tefillah is a dialogue. Tefillah is saying to the Ribbono Shel Olam, these are my problems, help me. And the Ribbono Shel Olam, as the Chofetz Chaim said, answers. And you can always add on the sentence afterwards, you've answered on other occasions, so do me a favor and answer me this time as well. And the Ribbono Shel Olam is patient. He gives a tremendously wide time span for this dialogue to take place. He fixes a makom, and he says, come between this time and that time. And yet we don't turn up. And even if we do turn up, we don't dialogue with him. And when you turn around and you say to somebody, why not? They say, you know, it's difficult. Probably it's so difficult. I just can't get the energy up to come. I really want to. I really want to. I have never in my life heard in this Beis HaMedrash a scene that a guy should run over from there to there and ask somebody, what time are we actually going to start davening shacharis tomorrow morning that I can be there 10 minutes early? But what time does tonight's perspiring act of the Schwarzes start that I heard four times this evening before I started speaking? The same guy who can't get his energy up. He's got no idea why. He's got 45 reasons to explain. He will spend 15,000 shekel on psychologists and psychiatrists and social workers and all the other narishkeiten. And he will be convinced. And they will tell him this because he's paying the money. I also tell people things, what they want to hear when they pay me money. I once heard from Yosha Ber Soloveitchik of Boston. He said, "Ich gesehen als Psychiatrin mit Psychologen man muss getan zwei Sachen." He said, "I saw that a psychiatrist and a psychologist can do two things in this world. Er kann nehmen Geld und machen dir mehr verschüttet, wie du bist reingegangen." He said, "He can take money and he can make you more crazy than he went in." And every guy's got his list of 40 things. My mother stopped nursing me 2 years too early. My brother, when I was 4 months old, stuck my pacifier, I won't tell you where, and then put it into my mouth. And I can't daven Kriyat Shema Bizmano! And you don't understand me. And maybe he's right. Maybe there is some deep psychological reasoning. Why, if your mother stops nursing you too early, you can't get to places on time. But how come that when you have to go to town and you have to meet somebody at the bus stop, especially if it happens to be somebody from the opposite sex, it's always the right time, bang on the door. No problem. I'll be there. And on that, the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to have a tremendous tefillah on us. The Ribbono Shel Olam is not going to be teveh us from doing things wrong. Because ein adam ba'aretz asher v'yechda. That is human nature, that's a human being. Ribbono Shel Olam, he's fine with that. But be consistent, says Ribbono Shel Olam. Don't play games with me. Basic manners. If you have a problem, then you have a problem down the line. And if you don't have a problem, then you're in big trouble.